When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm just like, let what is manageable be simple, or like my personal life be simple, and let, you know,
yeah,
the chaos of working in this industry be the chaos in my life. My God, yeah.
Save
totally.
It for the,
sorry.
Save it for the episode.
Save it for the episode.
I'm doing the banter.
But we can gossip about Huberman, who's like, do you guys know the Huberman podcast, which is like what got me into sleep hygiene?
Okay.
And then his personal life blew up like a day ago.
Oh,
oh really?
No.
Oh, no. Like in a bad way?
Yeah, in a really bad way.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Who was it?
What is his first name? Does anybody in this know? I think it's Andrew Huberman.
Oh, no.
He was caught. He was this like Stanford doctor who has this super popular medicine podcast, health podcast. And then this article came out and I read it, which is terrible. I actually feel guilty. But it was basically like he was like dating like seven women at the same time and like lying to all of them. It just seemed like a nightmare logistically. How this man was doing. That must have been so hard to deal with.
This is going to sound awful, but like, is that the worst of it?
That's totally the worst of it. Yeah.
Were they all adults?
Like, oh, yeah. Everybody's adult. Whew. I was like fine with it.
You get to that, isn't it so fucked up that nowadays it's like, oh, that's it? Okay. It's kind of like, they're just like cheating on people. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I have like a French person sentiment with that stuff too. I'm like, well, if it doesn't like directly affect the public, it doesn't really matter. But I think he was kind of an asshole.
I mean, I always think of that though, people with like, when it comes to like infidelity, it's like, I don't have the time for that. I may be the worst person to date ever, because if you are an inconvenience to me in any way, shape, or form, I lose interest in you.
Wow.
So, like I'm serious. So, I'm like, nope, if I have to go somewhere, if it inconveniences, like, my routine, I'm not interested. So, the idea of having seven people to deal with, polyamory would never work for me.
Oh, my God. Also, if you ever meet those people, like 40% of their life is just about like talking to all of the people they're sleeping with to make sure that everybody is like emotionally okay.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that sounds like a nightmare.
I can't. That's so much work. I mean, like, more power to anyone, you know, who does what they need to for their own relationships. But like, for me, it would just never work.
But this sounds like it was a secret thing. If you're like openly in that, then you can just like kind of recede and let the others deal
with
each other. You know, you need your alone time.
Yeah. If it's like a secret, that's more work.
That's a whole thing.
That's
yeah.
such an inconvenience. How do you live a normal life? I after these, I need to like hide for a few days because it's too many people.
We get three conversations out of you and then you.
That's it. Then
I'm exhausted.
I have no more people. That's not
no,
true.
I understand. I feel the same way. I'm just like, let what is manageable be simple, or like my personal life be simple, and let, you know,
yeah.
the chaos of working in this industry be the chaos in my life.
Yeah, for sure.
Welcome to Scream Dreams, the nightmares that shaped us, where we talk to your favorite filmmakers and creatives about their nightmares and the things that really terrify them. I'm Catherine Corcoran.
I'm James A. Genese, and today we are joined by Fiona Dorff, who I love your work so much.
Thank you.
It's so good.
Thank you. I personally like have a really hard time watching my work, but I like that other people watch it.
I feel like that's most people though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Most people don't like watching themselves, especially when it's like an acting thing. Like I can watch myself host stuff and it's fine, but when I'm watching myself act, I'm like, oh, that's just me. And people will be like, no, you're really good. Yeah. I don't even, and I'm like, no, it's just me doing this thing.
God, it's weird that my eyebrows move like that.
Oh my God, I'm just like that. I do this thing when I fake cry where one eye always closes first before the other. Drives me nuts. Like I have a twitch or something.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not real. My body like refuses to accept it.
Yeah, and you just see all these shortcuts that you know you're faking, but other people buy into. So,
there's nobody in the world that's ever noticed that one eye closes first. I promise, besides you.
My sister has looked at my an audition tape. She goes, what the hell is going on with your eye?
Oh, damn. Like,
yeah. So my sister has a
sisters. Yeah, I have one like that too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
protocol. Yeah. No. Yeah.
But is that like, is it because you're like, you like have like, we talk a lot about fears on the show, like imposter syndrome. Does it feel like, are you afraid to watch it? I guess I'm sure you get this all the time, but it has to be so hard to, and so much pressure to come into a franchise that is not only an established and notable franchise, but one that your father,
your Oscar nominated father.
Yeah. What is that pressure like?
Yeah. I mean, that pressure was loudest when I got cast in Curse of Chucky.
Yeah.
People sort of assume that I don't audition and that wasn't the case. But what's also true is that, you know, it's, I had access that other people don't have who weren't like raised in the industry. So I've been around film sets since I can remember.
Yeah.
When I was first cast, I mean, I have really bad imposter syndrome, and so does my father.
Oh, interesting.
Which is really interesting. Yeah. And sometimes I think that it's has to do with genetic personality in some ways. We have these like different dispositions that we're born with. We don't know why. So I have it very intensely, actually. It's never gone away. So every once in a while I can watch when I've been cast in sort of larger, like monster characters where I look really different. And that I can see, sort of why they cast me sometimes. But otherwise, I think it's just how I was born, and it's how my father's wired also.
You can see when they cast you as monsters, you identify with the monster.
Yeah, I think my edge is I have always been a little like, how do I explain this? But I was always kind of like a dark kid and pretty extreme. And so I have been able to relate to like feral characters in a way that I think there's actresses out there that do, but maybe fewer. Like casting me as an ingenue is the most embarrassing thing in the world. They've like done it before, and I was like, everybody's uncomfortable. It's just, like, felt like I was lying.
What do you say? You were like an extreme kid in what ways?
Ooh,
like, were you like fucking skateboarding around?
I can see it.
I don't know. I just came from kind of an eccentric family, right? Like my dad is an actor, and my mother was a professional psychic. You know, they were like, she was what they call a remote viewer. You know, we were like searching for aliens, and everybody kind of moved to my dad. This was after she left my dad, but everyone like moved to a cave to prepare for the end of the world. And like,
wait.
Yeah.
You just very casually said that you and your family moved to a cave.
I didn't. So my mother and the people who she were sort of.
Did you ever visit her in the cave?
Yeah, it was yes. it was a place of land that had a lava tube. It was in Hawaii under it, and according to sort of their belief system, it was where aliens were going to. There was a whole system of beliefs, but anyway. So I come, but also, by the way, like it sounds kind of wild, but there's like. Everybody has their kind of family stuff.
Sure. Right?
Yeah.
And so I felt like I sort of felt like I came from this like weird and hard to describe childhood. And I was like, maybe my edge is like I can bring some kind of relationship to that, to the screen. So that's like also kind of has to do with my relationship with acting. I'm like, yeah. Anyway.
Do you hear aliens?
Oh. Oh my God, that.
Yeah. That thing. You have the experience. Oh my gosh, an alien is coming this time?
No, it feels nicer than an alien.
Well, are
it
aliens. Feels good. I don't know if aliens are mean.
Do you guys know? That's actually my biggest fear is I hate aliens.
Oh no.
I really don't like them.
Oh no.
Well, they'd be so much more advanced than us if they were to contact us.
Yeah, yeah, and they're definitely out there. So.
Yeah. Also, much more advanced than us is Barbara Crampton.
That's true.
Who I think is set to arrive. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
Oh, you're not an alien. There's all these awkward hugs that I have over the chair. But
now I want a super cut of your hugs.
Yeah, all of them.
Who handles it the best? And
well, I have to give the guest the downstage.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I didn't take it light. You're right.
Yeah. It's better. Yeah, but, So I was over there listening to the whole thing, and well, no, I mean, I appeared from my bedroom, from magical place.
From beyond, as I like to say.
Yeah, from the whole, done. From beyond.
That was like not a drum at all.
Yeah. Oh, those noises. That's what she did.
I'm sorry.
It's been a long day. But you guys were talking about acting, and of course, that's something that really interests me. So when you were talking about it, because we don't always get to talk about that.
Yeah.
I am used to watching myself. I'm okay with watching myself because I did a lot of soap opera work in my early life. Yeah. And so I watched myself all the frickin' time. Mm-hmm. And so now it doesn't bother me to watch myself at all because I've seen myself so much, you know, so I don't have an issue with that. But when you were talking about imposter syndrome, which I have to tell you, you're an amazing actress. And you know, when you were channeling your father, channeling you, channeling your father, I flipped out. I fucking flipped out. You were so good.
Thank you.
So I don't know if you felt like after you did this, even though maybe leading up to it, you felt imposter syndrome, you feel like that like the day before, whatever. Did you feel like after you shot some of those scenes, did you feel better about yourself? Or did you have to wait till people told you? Or till you saw it yourself? Or when did you go, you know what, that was pretty good? Or did you ever?
I never did.
No.
You never did? Oh, like, you're so good. You're so good.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So I have a really funny relationship with this franchise where I feel, first of all, it is so fun to make, right? Yeah. So I'm anxious, but like, It's a group of people that have been making stuff together for now. I mean, my first movie was like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I love Don Mancini. Mm-hmm. I love him. Mm-hmm. Like, really, I think he was there when I found out my mom died. He's like, just like this massive figure in my life. And it's really fun to make. But I have a hard time. I have a hard time having a relationship with people liking it. It feels like something that I do in a vacuum, and then I go out and meet people who really like it, but I don't really have any kind of emotional connection to that. It feels like this fun thing that I get to do that's both scary and really fun with my friends. I feel like this, my answer is all over the place, but
Well, do you ever feel satisfied with the work?
No.
Satisfied? It was the word I was gonna say, but do you ever, is there any indication at all that you feel like you have done good work ever? Have you had that experience ever?
I mean, this is fucked up, but not really. No. Yeah, not really. I mean,
so
I,
it continues I get, on. It's before you make it, it's after you make it, and it just continues on.
Do you ever read reviews? Or do you avoid them?
Sometimes I read reviews, yeah. Okay. I also, like, you know, I get things offered to me once in a while, or I get cast in stuff over and over. So you think, like, at this point, I would have some better kind of relationship with this. But no, I am pretty constantly dissatisfied. And you know what? My dad is the same way.
Yeah, I know. That's what you said. Isn't that wild? Dad feels like that, and your dad is like,
My dad is like ridiculous. Some of the best.
Dude, I've just been watching and rewatching Exorcist 3 and just like, holy shit. That might be my favorite performance from him.
Yeah.
Just...
yeah. He, you know, like stuff he's done a long, long time ago, he like doesn't see himself in it. He's like, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But he sees what's wrong.
He sees what's
wrong. Of course.
I mean, we all look at, myself included, I'm okay watching myself, and I can watch myself sometimes and go, okay, I like that moment, or I like that, you know, that scene, or, you know, I probably don't love like a whole scene all the way through, because I always look for things that I go, if I had that to do over again, now I know how to do it, I would have done this, or I would have had that emotion, or, you know, I would have taken that pause, or, you know, might have had a different, you know, attack on it. But this brings me to something that when you guys were talking, I was reminded of that Sir Anthony Hopkins says about acting and his process. And, you know, I'm so interested in that. I'm always looking up what famous people, you know, who have it all are saying.
Talk about acting, for sure.
Talk about acting. Yeah. So he said recently, and I think I saw this on Instagram or something, he said, it's really none of my business what my character does. I mean, it's not any of my business. I read the words. I, you know what my character is doing and what they're going to be saying. But I, like your dad said, step over the threshold, right? Is that, was that the
step quote? Over the line, kid.
Step over the line. So it reminded me, Sir Anthony Hopkins said that, step over the line. And whatever it is in that moment. And it's none of my business. And I don't know if that
so maybe
is
the
helpful.
Line, the line is like the doubt of like, oh, I'm overthinking this or I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe the line is just...
Well, I'm also a person who plans a lot. And I think we've talked about this before because my training is like, you know, see and study. Yeah. And so I really break things down and I really organize what I want to do and how I want it to come off. And then I try to let it go. Yeah. Like they say, let it go. But... I think it is when you are stepping over that line, you have, I think some of the best work that I feel I've done is when I'm not thinking about it and I just say it and I look at the other person and I see what they're giving me and then I just answer them, you know?
Yeah. Can I tell you guys what I do love about acting? Like, cause there's a lot that I really love.
Yeah.
But one thing is like when you like for me, there's a long exercise in figuring out like what conditioning got me to the place where I would do and say all of these things, like how that person like feels every day and how they got there. Like that has to be, and that's really fun. It feels like a puzzle.
That's part of your process. Well, that's like your backstory too.
Yeah,
like
it's the backstory. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I write a You know.
Do you? I do too.
I write a whole backstory, and I don't have to show it to anybody.
Yeah, yeah, it can just for you.
I can sometimes, but
you know those moments where, and maybe this is also very inside baseball, but I do think it's interesting for people who don't know acting, when you're so in it, and that when it's done, you feel like you have to like. Catch your breath for a second because you were so not connected in your body but simultaneously connected at the same time. I don't know how to explain it any other way.
It's
where
kind of along for the ride.
It doesn't happen every time, and a lot of times you have to have like a scene partner too who like you're just in it with, but like where you're just like you're not even thinking, everything's just coming out, and then you have a moment where they yell cut and you're like back in your body again.
I love that feeling.
Whatever that is, that moment where like I feel like that's the high I'm always chasing. I'm not myself anymore. I'm not connected to myself.
I had the best experience acting only just recently.
Really?
It was on this little movie I did called Teacher's Pet that my friend Luke Barnett is in, and he asked the people to cast me in it. And so I just did this part. And it was playing the mom of this girl who was my what do you call that when you have a ward of the state and you're taking care of a foster daughter. She was my foster daughter, and there was some issues in the family and with the way my husband was treating her, and she had a serial killer after her, so she had a lot of problems. And the director said to me at one point, he also wrote the script, he goes, I don't care what you say in this take. I just want you to just do whatever you want to do and just don't even, you know, because the other gal wasn't saying too much.
Yeah.
Just say whatever you want to say and do whatever you want to do. And I went.
Because you're a planner. Yeah.
I didn't plan anything. And I just decided to just go for it. And something happened. Something happened in that moment.
Yeah.
And I had one of those moments. I've had them before.
Yeah.
But this was one of the stronger moments where I just felt like, I was along for the ride, and I did get out of my way, and I was Sir Anthony Hopking it the whole way through. My character like was flowing through me, and at the end when they said cut, I was like, I mean, I wish I could do that every time, but I don't. I can't do that.
Every time. Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah. But you're always chasing that feeling.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And when you hit it, it's like there's no like other high in the world. I feel like.
I think Jennifer Tilly once said to me. You know, you're lucky when the magic is there, and then the training is what you do when the magic
isn't. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think that's a very thoughtful thing by Jennifer. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. That's what it is. But anyway, now it's time for our game that we're going to play.
I thought that was the game.
Yeah, that was the whole game. Yay. That's the end of our show.
Acting.
Yeah, the acting. Yeah.
Jazz hands.
So, Catherine comes up with all of our games that we play with the guests. And this one is where I'm going to start us off. And it's going to be a dream, because we are Scream Dreams.
Okay.
And I am the sidebar. And so on the sidebar, I'm going to come up with the premise of a dream.
Got it.
And then we're all going to add to the dream. And somehow you're going to have to wake up. And how do you wake up from that dream? Okay. Or maybe it's a nightmare. Yeah. It's probably a nightmare.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Nightmares. Do you have nightmares?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have nightmares. Do I have a reoccurring nightmare?
You do?
I do.
Give me a couple bullet points of that recurring nightmare and I'll add that in.
Sludge.
Sludge? Mm-hmm. Okay, give me some operative sludge. Words. Sludge.
The word sludge.
Cliff.
Ooh. Okay.
Water.
Okay, wow. Okay. So
dark.
Okay.
James, how much do you love Factor meals?
I love Factor meals because I don't have time, Catherine. Time is something that
you don't have it.
It just slips their way through my fingers every day, and I think about how much time is leaving me, and I'm like, oh, but I have to eat to sustain myself, and I don't have time to make food.
There's just too many minutes in the day. You're having an existential crisis. You're like, I don't know how I'm going to do it all.
And exactly. But I do have 2 minutes to make a Factor meal.
To put it in the microwave, it comes pre-made. It's delicious. It's healthy. It's specified to your dietary needs.
That's right.
Really big into fitness.
I've got them. Yeah. My trainer is like, hey, man, you got to stop eating all these high fat things. You got to eat better.
He's
and I'm like,
eat the Factor meals.
Don't worry. I got Factor.
And so it works out. So if you want to try Factor yourself, or if you're just too busy, or you forget to eat like I do, it's like a neurological thing. I feel like I don't.
You gotta remember to eat.
I know. I feel like I don't feel hunger. This is like a real thing.
Oh yeah.
I think I have a neurological imbalance where I don't feel hunger.
Oh no.
I don't know. It's like an evolutionary mechanism. But anyway, thanks to Factor meals, I don't have to worry about that. About
That's right.
accidentally killing myself from starvation. I can just use Factor. And if you want to use Factor and support the show, you can go to factormeals.com/ScreamDreams50 and use the code ScreamDreams50.
Why is it 50?
Because 50% off.
That's right.
50% off to get, or no, it's not. That's a lie.
Ha!
wait, actually, yes, it is. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. So
wow.
So it's like a double whammy.
That's
it's
right.
Like Scream Dreams 50, you get 50 and then 20. What's that? That's 70 really when you think about
that's
it.
That's not math, but but that first one is half off.
It is half off.
Which
so
is great.
So if you want to support the show, head to factormeals.com/ScreamDreams50 and use the code ScreamDreams50 to get 50% off your first box and then 20% off your next box. That's code
Scream Dreams 50.
At
Scream Dreams 50. Factor.com.
Factor.com/ScreamDreams50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Don't starve to death. Get Factor meals.
You know what's a nightmare? Dehydration.
Yeah. You know what's an even worse nightmare? Plastic pollution.
That's why we love Liquid Death and their evil mission to murder your thirst and kill plastic pollution.
That's right. Their aluminum cans are as metal as they get. So pick some up today because we all need something refreshing to reach for when we wake up from a nightmare.
It's true. Cheers.
So, okay. So this is you. Fiona is in a car and she's driving and it's kind of dark and her phone is out of juice and you're kind of running out of gas and you're getting a little bit nervous and you're going to visit these high castles at the top of this area in Lisbon. and
go visit,
and you have to stop the car because the gas is no more. But then also you realize that you can't walk, and you have that old handy wheelchair in the back of the car. So you whip that out. You're actually pretty strong, so you whip that out over your shoulder, like through the car door.
I do CrossFit.
Yeah. You open it up, you sit down, and you're wheeling yourself down the road so that you can get to the castle. You're on a high cliff, and it starts raining, and you're rolling your wheelchair along and along, and the rain starts raining really heavily, and the mud is starting to kind of creep up, and it's like sludge, and it becomes harder to wheel your wheelchair. And then in the distance you see,
well, you're supposed to pass the skelly.
So oh God, sorry. You could have interrupted me.
I didn't want to. You're doing so well.
Yeah, we didn't want to.
And then you see
pass. And then you see, this is our skelly Sam. He helps us with our nightmares. Not to be afraid.
Oh.
And then, yeah.
I think I see a large wave. There was a tidal wave, an earthquake, and fire that destroyed Lisbon in 1740, like completely destroyed the city. So I think I see a large wave, and I think it's like it's the receding tide, right? So it's receding and receding, and there's like a shadow on back that's getting larger and larger, and there's like fish and things and sardines. Who was just talking to me about sardines? I forget. that are flopping around, and something is wrong. It feels very ominous, and I'm stuck in the sludge in the wheelchair.
And as the wave gets bigger and bigger, you start to feel more and more trapped. And there's nothing you can do because you know it's going to crash down on you if you can't escape the wave. So you flip the wheelchair to its side and hoist yourself out with your strong CrossFit arms. Crawling on your elbows through the sledge, desperate to get away from the wave, and you hear it start to break as it comes down slowly towards you.
Oh God, I'm so sorry, buddy.
But then the wave stops as though it hit an invisible barrier. And you look back over your shoulder, and it's as though a wall of water that you're looking through a glass window at. And you don't know why it's stopped there until you hear a dull roar. And you see the fish that are flopping are no longer just flopping because they can't breathe, but you almost sense a fear in them, a fear that they know what's coming. And you see out of the wave come an enormous Cthulhu-like monster who parts the wave as he comes out. And he starts approaching you, grabbing a few fish on his way just to give him a little appetizer. But the main meal that he's looking at is you.
Well, this is something I know about, the Cthulhu monster.
That's right.
Coming out of the water, and he has eaten some of those fish, and then he's coming after you. And then with one of his tentacles, he picks you up from your wheelchair. And he, remember that castle that was in the distance? He actually picks you up and places you in this castle window because he wants you to be his Cthulhu queen. So it doesn't matter if you can walk or not and that you were in a wheelchair, because now you are a being of the sea, a Cthulhu queen sitting in this beautiful castle that's up over the ocean. And then we'll continue going, and anytime you want to wake up, you're allowed to.
Okay, cool. So I'm in a castle, and I have this like dope boyfriend, and he's got all these tentacles. And then I'm hanging out. It's only like a few minutes, but I'm pretty content. And then suddenly I feel trapped again. And there's this rumbling,
and it's another earthquake, which is due, by the way, in Portugal. And suddenly the ground opens, and like me and all the happy Portuguese and expats who are like hanging out, we all kind of crumbled down into this kind of lovely oblivion, which isn't so bad after all. And then I wake up.
Aww.
Yay.
That's a Cthulhu.
Oh, you don't
know? It's like
a
big Lovecraftian monster, like a big...
It's the octopus. You know what Cthulhu is, so it's the octopus, like you've probably seen it. It's like an octopus tentacles. Monster.
With like a little face. Sometimes he's got a little mustache.
Oh, yeah.
It's like from the depths of the sea.
Though I don't eat octopus because they're so smart.
Yeah.
I know. I don't either.
You know what? I don't eat octopus either. I can't eat octopus.
I just feel like that's awful karma. They're so smart.
Too smart.
Yeah.
It's like eating a monkey.
Yeah, no.
Cthulhu means too much to me.
Yeah.
Aww.
We loved you. He was my boyfriend.
Yeah, he's your boyfriend. Yeah. He's going to take care of you. Mm-hmm.
That's the next merch item. It's a t-shirt that says Cthulhu is my boyfriend with Barbara. And
you know what?
You should.
Come on.
Works in progress.
Fright Racks right now.
Works in progress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Works in progress.
Yeah. Okay. This has been an awesome conversation. And I know you guys are going to continue on. And so, like Cthulhu, I will go back to the sea. Wow. See you later.
Okay. It's a little jarring. I'm sorry about
that's
that.
That's okay. It's very exciting.
Is she back there?
Oh, no. Not so far. No. I only see my purse.
She left that here for you.
Good. Maybe I should check my money.
My purse is here, but the cash is gone.
We're cramped in. Everybody says that about her.
When, for something like Chucky, there's not been many, obviously your dad is the one playing the doll for the most part, but there have been times when like in this, when you are Chucky, how does that inform?
Or when you are playing your dad.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. yeah, that happened.
Or when you are playing your dad playing you.
Yeah.
Like the layers are so fucking good to watch because every, like you can see each layer in such a good way.
Oh good. Yes. Yeah. I was really excited to shoot that scene. Yeah. And actually talk about intimidation. I was really intimidated because it was just so juicy.
So
I think your question is like, how does physicality or, you know, how I feel in my body and stuff affect my performance? And I would say like, yeah, I think I like try to walk around. I try to feel what it would feel like to be in that person's body.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess there is like some, God, it's really hard to talk about this kind of thing, but I guess there is like some physical preparation that I do.
Like, do you like walk around in front of a mirror and like kind of like?
Never in front of a mirror.
No, you don't. You're not the like last checking
thing,
your
the
posture.
The last thing I want to do is watch myself. Yeah. But you try to like, try to feel it, you know? I've played a lot of characters that have been cast as a woman like at the last second. So it's
written horrible. Either gender neutral really as a man.
I just try to walk around to feel what it would like, what that type of entitlement sort of feels like in your body. Not that men are entitled, but like these particular characters. It's a large swath of the population to generalize, but
yeah.
it's the particular characters that I've played either have like I think of it as like something to fucking prove.
Mm-hmm.
Or like an anger and all of that in the end, like what is it? It's something that's physical. What else could it be? You know, it's the idea that manifests in your body, it becomes physical.
Well, this is another like very inside baseball question, but like so in taping then, now that we have to self-tape all the time, how does that affect you? Because I hate it.
You hate it.
Because I'm the same way. I hate watching myself.
Yeah.
And then the fact that I have to watch back and choose what's the best, I'm not objective at all. So it doesn't, it's terrible. I'm probably submitting arguably the worst tape.
The worst ones. Yeah. I don't know. I definitely book off tape. And if there's, I can tell whether I'm going to be in the running for something immediately. My agent hates it when I talk like this, but I can usually, I've very rarely been surprised. I've been surprised a couple times, but I can, if like my understanding of the world makes sense in whatever. I think I can tell. I just say like, if I were not me, would that be the character?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's a really good way to approach it.
I
heard actually for the first time you entered into the Chuck universe, you did not audition for the lead, and that Don was like, no, you're the lead, and you didn't believe him.
No, that's not what happened. Well, okay, almost sorry. What happened. Sorry. No, it's a part of it. I first got an audition for the sister, I was like, oh, cool. And that was also a little bit more in my wheelhouse. And then he saw the tape, and he was like, have her audition for the lead. So then I put that on tape and then had two auditions past that.
Okay.
That's what happened.
But you knew you were in the running for it. You weren't like, you knew.
I totally knew. And I had, I was so, when I went in for the final test, which was like, for the studio, for the network and stuff, and Don was there. I had met him, but didn't have a relationship with him at that point. It felt like a, oh, nice to meet you thing. I thought I did a terrible job. No, that's the end. I thought I did a terrible job. And then when I got the part, my first feeling was terror. I mean, at that point, I had been in True Blood for a season, but like reoccurring guest star, like a small thing. And then I think I had cast, I've been cast in The Master.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, there's something here. I'm not a total fraud.
But, I kind of get it. Yeah.
And I had done a small movie. I'd been the lead in a small movie. It was so scary. And what Don did is he let me watch the main three, me, my audition, and then the other three. And at that point I wasn't the best, I think, but I was the most believable in a wheelchair. That's the only thing I can.
Because you had done another role where you
I'd done it. Yeah, that's right. I had actually been working for like 5 years or something. It had been, I would think I was 27, 28 or something. I had that way about me where it looked like I had been through a lot, which I think everybody feels like they maybe have been through a lot or their family's weird. But I felt like that always was my edge. It's like I had these extreme experiences in my teenage years with aliens or whatever. And so I was like, oh, maybe this will give me, maybe whatever. Maybe I could be an actress. I don't know.
I mean, we're so glad you are.
Oh, thank you.
I always say that Nika revitalized the series just as much as Tiffany did with Bride. Like it's just like these injections that keep this series going and is why it's still so popular, especially among kids, man.
Yeah.
We see all these kids at conventions and it seems like Pennywise is big with them, maybe less so now than a past couple of years as we get further from those new movies, but Scream, they really like
the new ones. My God,
And Chucky, are the ones that I see kids just repping the hell out of, and it's great.
I know, the identification with Chucky is so interesting, and I talk to them, and it feels like one thing is constant. I'm like, so how did you get into it? And they're like, you know, I used to like sit there with my mom or like my uncle or like my dad, and we used to watch them. So it's like this family value.
And they're always like, and I was scared of him. And now like, then I like was able to be brave enough to watch him.
And now like I love him. Yeah. Or sometimes they were never scared. They just think he's really funny.
Yeah.
But it's these, you know, people get tattoos. There's so many tattoos out there. And, it's like an I feel like it's identification with being a black sheep a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. You said this thing.
All about it, man. I love you guys.
And maybe you didn't. So if I'm misquoting you, you could take credit for it or not. But it's unlocking something for me when you're saying about like the kids that are fans of this, the younger generation.
Yeah.
And you said once that Chucky is afraid of oblivion, and that was like, I loved when you said that because I was just like, oh my God, like the idea of like what motivates these serial killers, like what is their fear? Not like because they're creating this fear, but like, you know, again, and trauma begets more trauma. Like what motivates that? Perhaps do you think that younger generations like Chucky because he has that fear and they can relate to that in this like almost like arguably kind of post-apocalyptic, post-pandemic world that we're living in right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, that's interesting. Actually, who said that is my father.
Your dad, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that's okay. That's how he understands it.
Okay.
Is he says two things about Chucky. He says Chucky is terrified of oblivion and he loves his job. Yeah, that's not how I've been able to play that character a few times. So I developed my own relationship with it. And, you know, I mean, you probably know, like, you have to figure out things that, like, activate you
yeah.
that, like, will make it alive. Uh-huh. And so clearly my dad's a little scared of oblivion.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
For me, I'm not. I'm like, that seems
peaceful.
Yeah, or just that word seems like it's a part of everything or yeah. something. That's okay. That word, like, does nothing to me.
No, I'm with your dad.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
We've talked about each other's fears on this. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That isn't how I understand it. But yeah, Chucky
so
yeah, is...
So you have to find your own way
I had to find
make
my
that
own.
Make
yeah.
sense for you playing the character.
Yeah, I had to find my own. And mine is more like being trapped.
Okay.
That's what scares
I'm scared
you.
Of being trapped. Dating. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you are trapped in a way if you date. I get it. I understand. Well, speaking of that, so on this show, we always ask people, amidst all the things that you're scared of, amidst all the nightmares, what is your nightlight? What is the thing that at the end of the nightmare, at the end of the bad dream, when you're feeling trapped, lets you know that everything is going to be okay?
Oh, God. I have... I think that my answer is like a little too involved. I have an answer.
Go for
okay.
it.
Oh, God.
It's okay. Go for
gonna,
it.
I'm scared so it's going to sound like didactic and obnoxious.
Because a lot of people are just like, my dog. So like, I'm curious what this is.
Yeah.
No, but it's more obnoxious than my dog. I have a great cat.
Okay.
So when my mother passed, I had to like figure out how to handle it. And I go in these like kind of painful long meditation retreats. I can't even say this out loud. And nobody wants to hear people talk about this, but I have a pretty dedicated, I'm so embarrassed, meditation practice.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's not religious, it's not didactic, but it's trying to figure out what's kind of, what consciousness is like underneath all the thought. And there's something that is very personal to each person, but that I think is my I spend a lot of my time figuring out what that is for me. It could be different for everybody, but that's kind of my nightlight. And I think it's made me kinder and happier and more grateful.
The meditation practice itself?
The practice itself, yes. Yeah. Some relationship, changing a relationship with my own thought patterns.
Yeah.
And trying to, like, touch my understanding of what's under that.
Yeah.
Isn't that so?
No.
Okay.
And
no.
Now enough of this.
No, not at all. And you're not, even today, you're not the first person to talk about, like, how a meditation practice grounds them and brings them back to center. You are
yeah.
not at all.
You're
not
also,
at
yeah. consciousness is fucking weird, dude.
Yeah.
Consciousness is fucking weird.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Like, we're like a brain thinking about itself. It's fucking weird.
Also, like I kind of hate the like new age culture.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, but really meditation.
No.
Meditation.
I really totally important. Get that because I also have the same hangups with like,
yeah, same.
Like my mom, I love her. She's very much into like, chakras and stuff, and I'm
oh.
like, okay,
so
and like
chakras.
The crystals and stuff, and
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, I'm glad that makes you happy, but I can't,
yeah.
you know.
Also, I'll talk astrology all day. I mean,
oh,
if,
okay.
on a date with me, if you mention it, I'm out, but like secretly
oh.
out.
Okay.
I, you know,
yeah.
Then what's your relationship with astrology? Because I feel like the astrology people are going to be the ones who bring it up on a date. And
yeah,
like,
well, it's
you're like I'm the only one allowed to be into it. In
oh no, 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 no! I have no relationship with astrology.
Oh,
but
okay.
if my date brings it up, there's no getting past it.
That's no, I 100% agree with
yeah.
you. Yeah, that's for me too. It's like if that's the first question you ask me is what my sign is, I'm like, well. We could have been really good friends,
yeah.
but
no, I should
oh,
say
no.
I'm like a Scorpio. I don't care.
So what's
but...
your sign, James?
No, I...
James, what is your sign?
That,
what are
that,
you?
That
know,
thing
you know.
That predetermines how you are. And then,
you know, you
and then
know
whenever,
you,
no matter what you say, they'll be like, oh yeah, yep. that's such a Taurus thing to do. And I'm like, Oh man, I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Also, I'm like, I don't want to. Yeah. However, people want to understand the world.
That's true.
I like. Yeah. You know what I mean. I just probably don't want to make out with you.
Good to know. Well,
good to know. Now that we've covered all of our bases.
No, thank you. This was so fun. This was such a fun one today. Seriously, thank you so much for doing this with us. Next for you, where can people watch you on this?
Yeah,
this?
I actually
it's coming
have,
back to TV. But
yeah, so the Child's Play, the last half of our third season is premiering April 10th, mm-hmm. and with the fourth on May 1st. And it is so batshit crazy. And fun, and I'm really proud of it. I think that, yeah, I just think that this season, it's just gotten better each season, and and then the last episode specifically on May 1st was like a big deal within the Dura family.
Ooh.
So just gonna drop that there.
Okay.
I'm really proud of it. I hope people watch it. It's on USA and Sci-Fi, and then also Peacock. And then I have two movies that are streaming on Peacock right now. One is called Fire. I play, which is like a action disaster movie about a wildfire. Which with Peter Facinelli, who's like wonderful and I love. And then I have a movie that is premiering in theaters on April 8th called Unsinkable about the Titanic.
Whoa, ooh. Like Molly Brown style?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And it's a period piece. I play a reporter.
Nice.
I'm
a huge Titanic
I
fan.
Love that.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
the whole
cool.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So I've read a lot of books on it.
We
yeah,
have,
yeah.
For my wife and I, our first wedding anniversary, we just sat in front of the TV. Watched countless Titanic documentaries and put together the 10,000 piece Titanic Lego set, which is now on display in our dining room.
You nerd! Yeah. You total nerd!
This is awesome.
Have you talked to Don Mancini about that?
No,
we
Titanic?
Had him on and we didn't. We
is
don't
he a Titanic fan?
He's
interviews.
A Titanic dork.
Oh yeah, me
time.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
He's like a skyscraper dork and a Titanic dork.
Skyscraper, okay.
Big time. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you also are a Titanic dork, or if you just want to tell James what sign you think he is, let us know in the comments, like, and subscribe. We're on all major podcast platforms. We're also on YouTube. If you can, Patreon is always really, really helpful. Please subscribe there. And also...
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
What sign are you, Catherine?
I'm a Gemini.
Geminis always plugging their stuff. You know, that's such a Gemini thing to do, telling people to subscribe.
As if you even know. But it totally is. Until next time, thank you so much for being with us today.
It was really
Fiona.
Fun.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
We are Scream Dreams. I am Catherine Corkin.
I'm James A. Janisse. Be sure to leave the light on.
Ha 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 ha